One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Dove University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker, and every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. How to improve your life and your relationships, your finances, your health, your happiness. And we've been having some great guests on the show, and today we have a very special guest I'm very pleased to present, is Mr. Christian Horvath. He's an award-winning Redondo Beach Council member, businessman, and community leader. During his work as councilman, he has, among other things, implemented a traffic safety program, enhanced neighborhood watch programs, and improved the city's infrastructure. He's also a husband, a dad, and a professional singer-songwriter who performs in the South Bay. Welcome, Christian, to the show.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, you sound like a very talented guy. You got a lot of things going on here. And it sounds like a lot of what you do is in Redondo Beach. Now tell us, Christian, why do you love Redondo Beach? Give us a commercial. We never heard about it. What's good about it?
It's funny, when I first moved, or when my wife and I were first looking to buy a house, and we were looking all up and down between, say, Santa Monica and San Pedro, it never once at that point in my life, you know, did I think, oh, I want to live down in the South Bay. You know, yes. It's so far removed to me. Like, I was always close to Hollywood and, you know, the center of L.A. And yes. And I never really gave it a thought. And then we moved here, and clearly, you know, you start to develop an appreciation for where you live. And my neighborhood feels almost like a little San Francisco-y with rolling hills. And but what ended up happening was we started having children. And as a result, you start to get to know your community. You go to the local parks and you meet your neighbors, and you have a much more intimate relationship with the neighborhood, say, than just typically leaving home in the morning to work, coming home in the afternoon.
Yes.
Christian,
let me ask you, we have people from all over the world, even the U.S., that don't even maybe even know where California is, for example, as much.
Okay.
So where Redondo Beach, where exactly is that located?
So Redondo Beach is in the Los Angeles region area. We're about 20 minutes south of Los Angeles International Airport. We are a beach community, about 70,000 people, and it has a rich history. Redondo Beach. It's where some people would say surfing got its start.
Oh wow! And people wear their shorts around town. Are you able to wear your shorts too?
You can. Yeah, and a lot of people do. The history here was rich. It was a huge tourist destination, and to be honest with you, it was also the original harbor point for Los Angeles. So much of the wood and the raw materials that built up the Los Angeles area actually came in through Redondo Beach. Okay. The community is absolutely wonderful. It's beautiful. It has a diverse population of individuals. And to finish kind of my story, after we had the kids, I started a business. I got involved with the local chamber, and as a result, started doing more. And I took a year-long course called Leadership Redondo. And it explores all the many facets of the city that you live in. And I turned to my wife, you know, halfway through that class, and I said, we live in paradise. Like, I never want to leave here.
That's wonderful.
I think it's a wonderful place to live or to visit. And I recommend to anybody who.
Wow. That's like a 4-minute commercial. I think we did a good job there. Now, Christian, a lot of people don't know a lot about politics. We know what a mayor is and maybe a governor or president, but the word council person, what do you do and what are some of the challenges and solutions to your job?
Sure. Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that local politics or local representation, I think, is the most important thing to anyone. And that doesn't matter where you live, right? But, you know, the things that affect you on a day-to-day basis, that affect your quality of life, really happen at the local level. And here in America and here in Redondo, we have a city that is broken into districts. So there's 5 council people. Each one of us represents roughly about 12 to 13,000 individuals. Yeah. But then again, we come together as a group and we make decisions for the city as a whole.
Right.
We have an at-large mayor who is elected. And, you know, what we do is we set policy and set the strategic plan, if you will, for where is the city going to go? How are we going to do our business, provide for the residents, whether that's in their quality of life, public safety, public health, the infrastructure, you know, all the things that I think people take for granted, you know, those are the things we're focusing on so that hopefully you don't have to think about
it. Your biggest challenge, Christian, is it not enough money? Is it not enough time, not enough people involved? What do you really need from people for you to do a great job?
What do I need from people to do? Well, I think, you know, it'd be great if there was more involvement from people. Yes. That's you know, the best part about democracy, right, is hearing from more people. You know, the city could always use more revenue sources. Every city could, you know, the expenses everywhere continue to grow, right? Yeah. And we as residents of any country, right, we're constantly trying to figure out how to put food on our table and pay our bills, and a city is no different. It's a service organization. It's not a for-profit scenario. So all the monies that come in go right back out into ensuring things are taken care of for the people who use the city on a day-to-day basis.
Now, Christian, there's also the idea of running for office. Now, I assume you do run for office. It's an elected position?
It is.
So there's a psychology of that. Now, we often see movies where the candidates, you know, work a lot and they get excited when they're winning and then they get very sad when they lose. Is there a psychology to this? Like, do you get excited when you're winning or sad when you lose?
Well, you know, I've only run for office twice. Yes. And I did win both times.
Oh,
once by a margin of, you know, 13 votes. And then the wow. second time I did win with a 10%.
So the 13 votes, was that like a feeling of relief or excitement? What was the feeling when you won that?
I wept.
Are you serious?
Well, it was about an 6 to 8 month long campaign.
Wow.
And I had been on I had been attacked from, well, from the very beginning. Wow. There was an enormous amount of negativity in that campaign, unnecessary.
What did they talk to you? You seem like such a nice guy. What do they say about you?
You know, I just think people who have very, very strong opinions and philosophical viewpoints, if you don't agree with them, or if they perceive that you don't agree with them, they choose to attack. And I think you'll see right now, right? This is happening everywhere. It's the only trickle down that works. You know, the trickle down of hate and fear. You know, it works at every level of government, and it confuses. I think it confuses people because they don't know what to think, and it's easy to glom onto that stuff. So yes. By the time we got through the end of what was technically two races, it was an original race and then a runoff race.
Yes.
You know, it was an exhaustive process, one that I would have never imagined it to be. And so, yeah, I think when I finally learned I won by 13 votes, I wept.
Wow. Well, I assume that you feel great when people respond to you. Like, do people stop you and say, hey, thanks for your work and all that? Do you ever get any feedback from folks?
You know, occasionally I'll get thank yous and positive feedback. I think when you're in this position, you tend to get a lot more complaints and criticism than thank yous. But you know, there are a lot of people out there who do reach out or maybe come to my community meetings and they will offer up thank yous or some compliments.
Great.
So, yeah.
Now, you know, the one thing you said that's very interesting is the idea of the hostility sometimes that we see in conflict in politics. You know, we recently had presidential candidate Marianne Williamson on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And her whole thing is about politics of love, you know, loving energy and all that. Now, for a lot of people, politics appears to be conflictual and even negative. Do you see loving energy as a good way to do this? Like, is it possible to do that?
So I absolutely think it's possible. I think the one thing I really appreciate about Marianne having taken part in the debates and part of this process is that she's really trying to touch on that piece of everyone that exists in humanity that sometimes is stifled, right? I think when you have media coming at you on TV or on the internet and much of it is focused on negativity, right?
Yes.
You forget about all those things that were inherent in you as a child, say, right? And love really is that thing, right? You were hopefully in a good situation. You were raised with unconditional love.
Yes.
And that helps set who you are. So when she's talking about those things on a national stage, I'm hoping that, you know, there are people that listen and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, you tap into something that could potentially shift your mindset and go, oh, maybe I should turn off the news. You know, maybe I should do my own research or listen to to what's going on and participate with empathy and kindness and even look at social issues or the things that are affecting us and try to look at it through that lens of, hey, this isn't just a right wing or a left wing thing. This is a human thing. So I think she's doing us a service by participating. And I hope that she has some greater effect on what happens.
That makes sense. Forward. Also, the idea that you probably helped a lot of people. I don't know if you even realized. I guess you did the traffic safety program. Maybe you saved lives or neighborhood watch programs. I would say that would be a positive element. Do you ever hear of people whose lives were helped or saved by what you've done?
No, I wouldn't say it in those grandiose terms. You know, everything I look at. So if you talk about the traffic safety program, the Streets for All program that I created, to me, that came to me as a result of walking streets and knocking on doors and seeing that people were speeding in the neighborhoods or driving distracted. And what I said was, you know, you can only spend so much money on having cops do enforcement, right? And you can only spend so much money on changing the infrastructure of streets to affect safety. But the biggest opportunity we have to effectuate change is to actually communicate and educate people into, hey, if you take ownership of your streets as a neighbor, if you drive 25 miles per hour, if you stop at the stop signs, you have the ability to make your neighborhood safer just by changing your own actions. And so that's really what that program was about, right? Yes. Like trying to create that level of ownership in all of the residents. And it's an ongoing process and it'll take years to do.
You can save lives, right? I mean, people are not run down as much.
You could
go slow, right? That would think.
Absolutely. If everybody slowed down and drove carefully, I think we'd be saving an enormous amount of lives.
That's wonderful. Now, one thing that's interesting, Christian, is you come from a kind of a fine arts background. I think you have a BA in fine arts. You own a graphic design company. So it's almost an oxymoron, a creative guy in politics, an artistic guy. So that's very interesting. Now, and you said something like there's something honorable about starting with a blank piece and realizing your goals and visions. You're talking about graphic design, but also does that apply to your political work? Is it possible to be creative in your line of work?
I think it applies to almost any aspect of life. So you can take that philosophy and apply it to politics or, you know, civil service equally. I think what's important is, especially in going back to what we just said a few minutes ago, right? You have a very almost politically divided society right now, right? People are putting themselves into these buckets. Yes. And so what's important is to not necessarily self-identify as a bucket, but start with that blank canvas and look at each of the issues both at a ground level holistically and also at a kind of a 30,000 foot view and try to be creative in finding solutions. You know, I think something that I hope my creative background brings to my work in civil service is that I don't feel like the status quo is not a defining source of what we should do as far as I'm concerned. It's good to look at that as a historical guideline of what has been done, but it's also good to look at that and examine what hasn't been able to be accomplished. So I think, you know, creativity in this work is important. And I think that there's, you know, maybe, you know, my personal, you know, sometimes musicians, artists, you know, we also tend to be a little bit more open and empathetic and looking at the human condition, you know, right? Because that helps inform how we write or paint or draw, you know. So, yeah, I think it's been a positive thing. And I think anybody should approach anything they do with that perspective.
So I like that. The artistic or creative politician. That's a nice little trademark there.
I don't think of myself as a politician, Dr. Revilla. I really think of myself as a civil servant because I think the word politician is kind of has developed a negative connotation, right? Exactly. And I believe when we all give back, right? Mm-hmm. If we all, it's kind of like that John F. Kennedy quote, right? Don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, right? I believe when we all give in service in some way, shape, or form, not only will we do more, but we will get back so much more. Yeah. And so that my perspective is not to be a politician, but just to participate in civil service.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the idea of, why should people volunteer? And they've actually done studies that volunteers actually have better self-esteem and they have more compassion. But then on the other side, we have in psychology, the bystander effect. Maybe you heard about this, where in big cities, if someone's in trouble, you think someone else is going to help that person. And there was a young lady that was actually stabbed to death because everyone was watching and they didn't do anything. So what do you say that? What's the importance of volunteering, and how do people volunteer, let's say, get involved in local communities like yours?
So being what my wife would call a serial volunteer person, I think it's important. It's been a part of who I am for the vast majority of my life, and I just think it's something I try to teach my children. I want them to realize that giving of yourself is good for others. I think it helps shape you, you know, in ways it doesn't matter what organization you are participating in as a volunteer. There is a need, and there's no amount of money sometimes that can fill certain needs, right? It really comes down to public participation in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And I think it's enriching, it's rewarding. I think it's humbling. So I hope, I think really, if you were really to cut out again all that negativity and stuff, you will see that this country, and I'm sure other countries, are full of people who are willing to give of themselves. You just don't hear about it enough. So
the positive may be hidden behind the negative, but we do know that people are often depressed and lonely, and actually volunteerism can help them reduce depression and loneliness.
Absolutely.
They feel connected. They have meaning. And also the idea of having empathy, putting yourself in someone's shoes, is a great inner booster of your own self-esteem and your confidence. So there are wonderful things that can happen. Now, let me ask you this, Christian. What is your vision for the future? Now, I can start at a small level, micro level, around Redondo Beach, or we can go to California, even society in general. Where would you like to see us go? Williamson was talking about almost like a love utopia. Is that feasible, or where do you see this society going in a good way?
It is a love utopia possible. I think I try to be an optimist. I think anything is possible, but it's not possible until we you start to shift thinking and actions, right? And I mean, clearly there's organizations out there that kind of push that mantra, or individuals like Marianne Williamson who write books on really shifting the mindset, right?
Sure.
If enough people start to move in one direction, you see change. So, let's even look at Senator Sanders, right? Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, I think he was talking about things and people were saying he's crazy. And now he's talking about the same things that he's talked about for decades.
Right.
And you see that more and more of his colleagues who are running for office are talking about the same things, right? So sometimes you do need that one person that is saying something enough and getting enough press, to inspire others to make a movement.
So Christian, let me ask you, what is the Christian Horvath philosophy of a great society? What would you like to see from your mindset? Should we all be artists and sing music? Should we be creative? Should we volunteer? I mean, what would you like to see?
Well, I would like to see a society with less negativity and more focus on solutions, for everyone, right? I'd like to see a more in-depth look at our own humanity and what is our, how should we all be participating in ensuring that, one, we are all thriving, but that everyone is able to be taken care of in some way, shape, or form. You use the term great society, that's almost like a callback to Lyndon B. Johnson. You could even go back and talk about things that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was able to accomplish, but I think we've moved into a time where there are people who feel that they're being left out, they're not being taken care of, and whether it's at the local level, or at the regional level, at the state or the federal level, I believe that we have to, we have to look at proactive, long-term, forward-thinking, and sustainable visions for how are we going to function as a society in any of those smaller local buckets, all the way up to the federal level, right? Yes. That's what politicians, civil servants, whatever it is, anybody or people who are involved in nonprofits, you know, we all need to be kind of thinking forward. And the way I look at my job here at the local level, right, is that I should be focusing on where are we going to be in 20 or 30 years. If I focus on where we've been or where we are right in the moment, I will lose sight of the work that we should be doing to prepare for later. Yes. And I feel like my job is to make the next person who comes along job in this position a little bit easier. And to prepare, you know, to make sure that this is a livable community for my kids, you know, God willing, they want to still live here. Right. So everything we do, we're doing it for the next generation and and the generation after that.
Yeah, so, leaving a legacy of positivity and growth. Now, Christian, I have, my producer here, Reggie, he's been chomping at the bit. He's a young man, 25 years old, millennial, who loves politics. And I think, Reggie, you went to Politicon, is that true?
Yeah, that's right. I went last year.
You met Dr. Drew. I don't know what he was doing there. Is he a political guy?
Well, he's there for Toast Podcast.
Oh, okay, Podcast. Okay, have you ever been to Politicon, Christian?
No, I haven't.
Some kind of convention about that. Now, Reggie, you have a question here. Reggie is an artistic and scientific kind of kid. So tell us, what's your question for Christian?
Yeah, well, like he said, Dr. Avila said, I'm very interested in politics. I actually studied political science at UCLA. I got a Bachelor of Arts there, studying that. But I work primarily in, like, writing, content writing, podcasting, like, the show or whatever. I'm not really involved professionally in politics. So what advice do you have for artistic people, scientific people, basically anyone non-politically involved who's looking to get involved in politics?
Well, you know, again, so like I don't look at it as politics, right? I think that's kind of
You don't like that word, Christian.
I really don't, because
really?
I think to answer the question, right? I think there are, if you want to get involved, there are ways to get involved that are not necessarily political, right?
Right.
So you get involved in some type of community organization that could be local, regional, or global, right? And you know, if you, as a result of being involved, you feel like you are able to do more, you can always look for other opportunities. And that's really how I came into this, right? I started a business, and then I did that Leadership Redondo class. And when I was doing that Leadership Redondo class and we were learning about the city, it was brought up to me that, well, hey, we have commissions here at the city level. And I was like, well, I should contribute. You know, I should be a part of that, right? I live here. I really enjoy living here, and I'm falling in more and more in love with this city. How can I contribute more? And so I signed up to be on a commission, and then I, you know, over the next few years served on three different commissions. And then it got to the point where the seat for council was coming up, and I said, I think I can do that. You know, I think I'd like to contribute at another level, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like just getting engaged and involved at any level is the first foray into whether you want to go into, I guess, a political world or just some type of angle that is making improvements, that is coming up with solutions, that is doing something for the betterment of your community, society, individuals, you know, however you want to look at it.
That's great. I like that answer. And I guess the idea is just kind of a step-by-step, you know, getting involved, getting your feet wet, and also getting reinforced. Maybe you enjoy it. Brother Reggie, I didn't know you had a UCLA political science degree. Oh, very cool. Okay. I learned something about you. Smarter than I thought. I think so. Now, Christian, I want to get to know you as a person as well, because you seem like a very interesting kind of guy. What makes you who you are? Have you been through any, like, either failures or life challenges that you overcame and made you who you are? What have you gone through in life that's made you this way?
It's an interesting question, you know, one you don't necessarily have a stock answer to. You know, I would say the first thing that makes me who I am is my family. You know, my parents, my grandparents, all those people that had early influences on me. It could be teachers, coaches, community members, people who, you know, you are seeing and modeling their behavior as you're growing up, and you're deciding how it is you want to be as a person in life. So all those early relationships and things clearly have informed who I've become as an adult. You know, beyond that.
Well, have you ever overcame? Have you ever lost something? Were you a shy kid? Did you, you know, anyone bully you? Do you ever have any things you overcame in life? Any challenges?
Yeah, I did. You know, I was a shy kid, and I did experience bullying for many years. And I, you know, clearly found a way past that. And that definitely defines, you know, part of who I am. It defines some of my own baggage, you know, that I carry probably, as we all do. Right. You know, other things that have defined me are my just the, you know, the talents that I had growing up and my, you know, getting engaged in music and theater and art. You know, that clearly led to what I did early in my career, which was, you know, move out to California from New Jersey and try to make it as a singer-songwriter. Okay. And you know, there's clearly successes and failures in that. You know, I feel like I was just saying this to a friend the other day. There are all these things that have happened in life, and you can choose to look at them as like, oh, it either stunted me from doing something, or you know, you could clearly look at them as like negatives. And I've really taken this way of looking at all the things, even if they were negative, if they were awful, that they have really, you know, they've kind of pushed me down a path, you know, and I, you know, you don't know where you're going, you know, but you're just kind of following this path and I'm grateful even for those negative situations or the people I've lost in my life who were extremely close to me because they have not only helped create who I am, but they led to me meeting other people or being put in other situations.
You sound like optimism is something we talk about. I wrote a book called The Three Secrets of Happiness. It's one of the greatest secrets is to expect the best and to take the worst to the best. And that's a wonderful trait to have. I'm also kind of wondering, in terms of if you could tweet one phrase to the world, what would that be?
If I could tweet one phrase to the world.
Yes, one phrase to the world. What would that be?
You know, I've always been a fan of that one quote that's attributed to Gandhi. And of course, right as I need to say it, right? It's I'm drawing a blank on it, but it's a it's be the change you want to see in the world.
I like
right?
that one. So, that's one of my favorites too.
And,
that's good.
And I like that because going back to some of the other things we've talked about, right? You can complain all you want, you know, and we live in a society where a lot of people just tend to complain. But if you want to see change, if you want to see something different happening, then you have to be the change yourself. You have to change that mindset. And then you will already be moving the ball forward.
Yeah, by the way, Christian, you don't have the Jersey accent. I thought you said you're from New Jersey.
I am from New Jersey, and if you want, you know, I can talk like that too.
Oh, okay, you got it. All right, I like that. Sopranos or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
and also the you know, people like superheroes these days. You know, all these action movies. Is there anyone in your life? I mean, it could be a historical figure, someone alive, someone you knew personally, or even one of the movie figures. What superhero would you want to be?
Which superhero would I want to be?
we ask you everything on this show. Yeah.
Yeah. That, wow. What an interesting question. I have.
Now, Reggie, what is your superhero? You told me before.
Oh, I told you I like the supervillains, remember?
Oh, that too. But then you told me it was the little guy that can disappear quick. What's his name?
Okay.
Yeah, he goes really fast or something. Was it Flash?
Well, I was always a fan of the Flash growing up. Yeah, yeah. The Flash was one of my favorites.
Oh, really? So, oh, you like Flash, Christian, too? Really?
I always did, yeah. I mean, I do like a lot of different superheroes just as a comic book fan. But Flash.
So why do you like Flash? Because you can run away from problems easy?
I never actually thought of it that way. No, I just think
he's pretty quick.
You know, there was the idea of being fast. I always found that attractive.
Yeah, so you can run for 10 offices at one time, right? Run all over town or something. Huh? Right.
That sounds exhausting, but sure.
Now, what is it that excites you in the future, Christian? Because you seem like a multi-talented person. You've done a lot to help the community. Now, do I see a mayor or even president, Christian Harvath, in the future?
You know, I don't know, right? I kind of am a day by day person.
Yes. I think what is your next exciting thing you're working on right now? What do you want to do?
You know, let me just back up one step, right? So, and if you look at like the way I write things on Twitter or Facebook, right? I always put the things that are most important first, right? So it's husband, dad, you know, like, so to me, you know, right now I've got three children. They're in their preteens, coming on teenage.
That's you a lot know, of work, by the way, Christian. You get the challenging times.
It is, it is a lot of work. So, you know, I mean, taking care of my family comes first and foremost to me, and then my business comes. You know, comes after that. And, wow. And clearly in step with that is also what I'm doing here as a public servant. As I said to you before we started the phone call, I really enjoy what I do in the public service capacity. And yes. I've jumped into the deep end on policy issues and, right. and engagement, not just at the local level, but at the mm-hmm. sub-regional and the regional mm-hmm. levels. So I derive an immense amount of enjoyment of, like I said, trying to come up with solutions and, right. and work on issues in a positive way. And
what's your next step, Christian? Because your term is going to finish. You said you can only do two terms. What are you going to do next? Terms. What excites you about you doing something now?
You know, I don't know. I do. There's a part of me that I think would enjoy staying active in the public world, public policy world. I don't know if that means you know, running for another office. My wife might kill me if I did, but it could just be getting, you know, engaging, you know, in public service in a different way.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. And, you know, so, you know, I just kind of I'm letting the universe dictate like what's yes. going to come next and we'll see what opportunities right. present themselves.
Okay, so I like yeah. that. Now, Christian, we come to the very exciting part of the show. We've been waiting for this. Christian, okay. can you give us a little sample of your singing? Let's hear what you got.
Oh. Well, I mean, you can find...
Wait, no. What's a song that you do? Tell me a song that you know that you like.
Well, I was an original artist. So as I was just going to say, you know, my music is online on iTunes and other places under Christian Anthony or Christian Anthony and the Between. So
okay, but I want to hear you sing something. Can you sing a little something for us right now?
Oh, I don't have my guitar with me here, so.
Well, give us a couple lines from one of your songs, maybe something.
Oh, wow, you're really putting me on the spot.
We love you.
Jeepers creepers here. Yeah, you know, if it's okay with you, I'm going to take a pass right now.
Christian, come on.
But
we'd love to hear it. Is it like, I mean, like, is it folk music? I mean, how do you classify your music that you do?
You know, I always called it was rock and roll, but okay. I did tour with an acoustic guitar. So I think it's the minute you're playing an acoustic guitar and singing songs, it's easy to get.
Okay. Do you remember a line from one of your songs or a couple of lines that have some meaning?
Lines that have some meaning. I mean, there are definitely, I think, you know, as a writer, all your songs, you're hoping to instill some meaning in them, right? Whether it's, you know, obtuse or totally transparent to anyone.
So, Christian, we're going to have you back now with the guitar. So you're teasing us now. You get us kind of excited.
I would be happy to come back anytime with my guitar and play a song for you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because music is very powerful. You know, that can actually make a lot of difference in people's lives, too.
I think it does. Yeah,
inspiring people and messages. And well, Christian, it's been great to have you on the show. You seem like a very delightful kind of guy, very intelligent, and also very caring. I can see the emotion in your voice, and you really want to help people. And that's what we're about here at Love University is, you know, extending that loving energy and without expectation. Because many times people expect things back, but it sounds like you're doing this without expectation. I assume you don't make a lot of money doing this. So you know, it's not about fame or success, but it's just about people. But you care about people.
Yeah. Correct.
Where can people get a hold of you? Do you have either a website or do you have any products or books or things that you do?
I do not, but I do have a website and it's christiananthonyhorvath.com.
Yes.
That's my site that's kind of geared towards being a you know, a council member here in Redondo Beach. So yes. christiananthonyhorvath.com. My business website is champcreative.com.
Oh, good. Tell us about that. What do you do for people in your business?
Yeah, so we're a small design agency, and basically we help people tell their businesses, people, whatever, you know, entrepreneurs tell their story through design, right?
Yes.
Through graphics, you know, for print, web, multimedia, whatever it is.
Tell us the website one more time, that one.
Yeah, that one's champcreative.com.
I like that. Like a champion, right? You want to make people feel like champions.
Well, you know, actually, Champ, that was my dad's nickname for me when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Yeah. Beautiful. That's wonderful. Well, Christian, again, thank you for being on the show. Now, we have an pleasure. Invitation now for you to come back, right? And maybe
absolutely.
Sing a little
I'd be happy to. Yeah.
So again, this is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we learned a lot today about basically getting involved in your society, in your community, and extending that loving energy. You know, being part of something bigger than yourself can increase your optimism, your hope, your gratitude. It can make you feel a lot better, and also it leaves a legacy behind for your children and those to come. So Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Also Instagram and Twitter at Love U Podcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads. And this is Dr. Alex Avila.